Amen. And, you know, we're not blessed because of what we have in our bank account. Amen. Or what we have in our wallet or in our purse. We're blessed because who lives inside of us. Amen. The King of Kings. Amen. The Lord of Lords. Amen. We're saved. Amen. We have our salvation. Amen. And we're on our way to heaven. Amen. That's why we're blessed. Amen. And we can't ever forget that. Amen. You know, that, you know, the blessings are of God. Being blessed is not determined by what we possess or what we have here on earth. Amen.
Amen.
But being blessed is by who's in our heart. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And this morning, amen, so good to be here again in God's house. Amen. Amen. We've been having a powerful weekend. Amen. Amen. We've been having a powerful weekend all weekend. Amen. And the ladies have been having a powerful week. Those that went to leadership retreat, they had a powerful week all week long. Amen. And so we just been, you know, God has really been moving. Amen. He's really been moving. You can have a seat just for a moment. Amen. And it seems like, you know, even this whole past month, God has really just been moving. And we've had some just great services. Amen. And just a lot of great things taking place. Amen. In our church, in the ministry, even in our region. Amen. You know, starting from even when we were having Run for Hope. Amen. We had a great Run for Hope. And then just we had Pastor Danny Sanchez with us. And
amen,
just a powerful move of God that God's been doing. And then the ladies going to the retreat. Amen. God has really been moving. Amen. And even down to this weekend, amen, we've been having a great time with Pastor Rick, Sister Jeannie, Alenise. Amen. We've been having a powerful time. And I believe that the Lord is equipping the church. Amen. He's getting us ready. Amen. He's building up our faith. He's building up. He's building the leadership. Amen. God is really doing a deep work in our church. Amen. And I know that this morning that God is going to continue to do that work. Amen. And, you know, he's been working inside of his people. He's working inside of us. Amen. Because he has a plan and he has a purpose for us. Amen. He has a plan and a purpose. And this morning, I hope that your hearts are open. Amen. And you know, even for the Christian, for those that have been saved for a while. Amen. That you've been saved for a while. Sometimes as a Christian, you can lose your way. You can lose your way. Amen. And you need a spiritual alignment. Amen. You need to be reminded of God's plan and God's purpose for your life. Amen. And I believe that as God, you know, continues to build the church, and even as he brings in guest speakers to speak into the church, I believe that God, you know, he's going to do something in our lives. Amen. Yes. He wants to revive something. Amen. Yes. Because the calling of God is irrevocable.
That's right.
It's irrevocable. Amen. And God's calling is there. He made no mistake. Amen. When he saved you, when he called you, when he brought you here to Victory Outreach, he didn't make a mistake. Amen. He brought you to the right place. Tell your neighbor, he brought you to the right place. Amen. He could have took you to the, you know, to the church next door. Come on, somebody. You know, but they probably would have been bringing you here. They would probably would like, Pastor, these are your people. This is your type of people. Come on. Come on now. Amen. I mean, God knew what he was doing when he brought you to Victory Outreach. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And this is why, you know, I ain't afraid of people stealing my sheep. Come on, somebody. I'll just bring you back. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Come on now. I'm glad you're laughing. Amen. Talking about you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, this morning, amen, it's an honor again to have, you know, our elders with us. Amen. Our elders. I can't say it enough how grateful we are that you accept the invitation to come, you know, to be with us. Amen. I really don't know if you really, you know, really knew who we were, or, you know, but, you know, we were at Mighty Men of Valor, Joe's everywhere, amen, and he got involved in the ushers over there, and he cornered Pastor Rick in the parking lot, you know, when Joe gets a hold of you, amen, you know, and he's like, you know, hey, Pastor Rick, are you going to come to Texas? He's like, invite me, Pastor, invite me. And he came running and said, Pastor Rick said to invite him. And then, you know, I kind of rebuked him. I was like, what are you doing? No, just kidding. So then, I caught him at the last day of the Mighty Men of Valor, and we're at the altar, and, everybody's kind of saying their goodbyes and see you laters. And I said, hey, Pastor Rick, you got to come to Texas. He's like, yeah, just invite me. I said, all right, you know, took him up on his word. Amen. We left the altar, and I said, well, he said, invite him. I ain't even got his address, his phone number. Amen. So, but how many of you thank God for Facebook? Amen. Thank God for the third biggest nation in the world. Amen. Facebook. And so we hit him up on Messenger. Amen. And then he got back with me. Amen. And he said, we'd love to come down there. Amen. And so he's here with us. Amen. And we thank you, Pastor Rick, Sister Jeannie, for coming. We know you're busy. Amen. And you got a lot of, ministry to do with your churches and Victory Arch International and as an elder. But we thank you for coming and spending some time with us this weekend. Amen. We know it's not easy, but we're so grateful for the investment. And we want you to know that it's going to be a worthy investment.
Yes, amen. Yes,
you know, we're,
right.
You know, I don't like to brag. I don't like to brag, you know. Sometimes I do. The devil tempts me, you know. But, you know, I think that, you know, that it's all connected. Amen. It's all connected because God is doing something special here in our church.
Right.
You know, God is doing something special in our church. You know, we're a small congregation right now, you know, but we have faith. Amen. We have faith, you know, this year for Run for Hope, for our category, we won first place. You know, we were able to raise up over $13,000, amen, and last year we won second place. The year before that we won third place, and we like gradually kind of made our way up, amen, and this year was the first time that they let us host it here in Texas, and so it was great, but I believe that, you know, that God sees something in our church, amen,
right.
That we're people of faith, amen, that we may not have a lot, but we, you know, I think we have a big heart,
yeah.
I think we have big faith,
yes. Amen,
and God wants to take that, and he wants to add to it,
yes.
The book of Peter, 2 Peter, says, add to your faith, add to your knowledge, add to your wisdom, add to your character. And with bringing in Pastor Rick and Sister Jeannie, I believe that God is adding to our faith. He's adding wisdom. He's adding experience. And you know, he can come and preach and teach, but then, you know, the real part is when he leaves, and now it's up to the church
to not just
be a hearer of the word, but to be a doer of the word.
Amen.
To apply. Amen. And so this morning, amen, as you stand to your feet, amen, I pray that this morning your hearts are open to really receive what the Lord has for us. Amen. And you know, and to really have your hearts open, your ears open, and to listen to God. Amen. Listen to the voice of the Lord. Listen to the voice behind the voice. Amen. So that, you know, what our elder deposits into us can be a good investment that will bear fruit. How many want to bear fruit? Fruit that will remain. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so this morning, amen, once again, amen, it's an honor to call up our elder, amen, Pastor Rick and Sister Jeannie, if she'll come greet the church. Give them a warm welcome to our family. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Thank you. I'm going to have my wife Jeannie come and just share a word of greeting this morning.
Amen. What a joy it's been to be here with all of you and to get to know some of you. We got to spend some time with a few of you, and I really am blessed to be here. You need to know that. Another thing you need to know is that we are family.
Amen.
You know, we're family. And I want you to think of me as your auntie.
Come on.
I'll be your Auntie Nina if you really like me. But I'm blessed to be here, and I see this church going places.
Yes.
Never despise small beginnings.
That's right.
And it just takes time. There's a certain time frame where God starts to speak to the leader, which are your pastors.
Yes.
And they've been listening to the voice of God.
That's right.
They've been having their ear in tune to him. Because it takes a lot of faith to start doing, you know, bigger things, and then, you know, even, well, I'm going to ask Pastor Rick and Alder to come, you know, you see how he was, like, nervous about it, you know, he wasn't sure, but, you know, you have not because you ask not,
that's
what the Bible says, right? And you need to know that we're not just a family, we're also an army. We are an army. And we aren't just under orders of a man. Or, you know, we're under orders from God.
Yes.
And we do have a general. And we have, you know, our spiritual authority.
Yes.
But when God starts to move, you better move with him. You better move with him. I believe that God is stretching your faith because we have a cause.
Amen.
We have such a great ministry. We are a movement.
Yes.
We're not just a little tiny little neighborhood church. No.
Right.
We're not a storefront church.
Yes.
We are a movement.
Yes.
We are city churches.
Yes.
And I want you to start believing, because God's going to start taking you places. Many of you are going to go out.
Amen.
I believe within 2 years, you're going to start sending people out. I really feel that in my spirit, because you're getting ready. God is ripening you up.
Yes.
So when your pastors start to say, talk big. You know, they start to talk big.
Yeah, yeah.
Big faith.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to move out of this building, because I'll tell you right now, it's too small for you.
Yeah.
It's too small for you. And when you start to move out, when he starts to challenge you, get behind him.
Yes.
Get behind him.
Yes.
Get behind your pastors and help them. Because it's going to require everybody's faith.
That's right.
And when he might say, let's go to Arlington, how many of you are going to go? When he starts to say, let's go to that city, that bigger area, how many of you are going to go?
Yeah.
How many of you are going to follow those marching orders?
Yeah.
I hope you do.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, you're going to lose out.
That's right.
You'll miss out. And we have missed out in too much in life before.
Amen.
Now we're going to take everything that God has for us.
Yes, amen.
I love you. It's been a joy to be with you and with your pastors. You have precious pastors and their family.
Yes.
Where's the girl that, where are they? Well, all of you are. You're all the family.
Amen.
I love you. I love you. God bless you.
Amen.
everything she said.
Amen.
Because I think that, you're in a good place right now. There's a lot of excitement. And see, I think that God has orchestrated all these different things that have been happening this last couple of months or so. And you're building momentum, building excitement, momentum. And the church needs to be excited. Amen.
Yes,
needs to be excited about, you
Amen.
Know, the mission of God, what God is doing, the kingdom of God. And I was sharing, one thing was yesterday, when I was talking about leadership, right before we got into the training, I was talking about movements and how they're talking about movements that happen in the global south, the movements that take place in the global north. The global south speaks of Africa and Latin America, Asia, some parts of India, and the global north speaks of North America and Europe, and how that they're talking about, and these are experts, they're talking about the study movements, how the kingdom of God is being unleashed there in the global south, in these places like Africa. We have, you know, people are just being reached, souls are being saved,
right.
They're being discipled, their leaders are being raised up, churches are being planted, movements are being birthed out of movements. And, but they said, but in the global north, you don't see the same kingdom of God being unleashed the way you see it in the global south. But let me ask the question, why? Why is it that we don't see the same move of God, the move of the Spirit of God in North America and Europe, the global north, than we do in the south? They said the reason why is because culture has influenced the church. The culture, you know, in Europe, I was sharing how, because I work with Europe and I can see how they're very humanistic, very secular, and they just kind of tolerate Christians, tolerate God. They really don't want God in the forefront. You know, they don't value that. They're just, if that's your belief, okay, that's your belief. But, and here in America, it's very liberal, very progressive, liberal, postmodernism mentality as well. And so today, people don't value really anymore the kingdom of God. They don't value even just coming to church, being faithful to church or prayer, or they just have church on the phone, or you know, go just kind of go on Sunday, go home, and you know, they're not really living for God. And we talk about the kingdom of God, you're talking about God's, you know, rule and reign over your life. When a person accepts Jesus Christ as a personal Lord and Savior, salvation is not the end. Amen. Even though God will free us, deliver us, salvation is not the end. It's only the beginning of a journey with God, a growth journey, so that we can grow in Him, learn of Him, know Him, be filled of Him, and be used of Him to partner with Him in building and establishing His kingdom all over the world. Right? And so when that happens, just like the scripture says, when God saves us, He delivers us. Right? How many have been delivered?
Yeah.
He delivers us out of the kingdom of darkness and translates us into the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Amen. And now in the kingdom of God, it's a whole new way of living.
That's right.
Whole new way of thinking, whole new attitude, whole new commitment. Now, everything changes, right?
Amen.
At least it's
right.
Supposed to.
Yes.
It's supposed to change.
Yes.
Right? If there's no change, then there's very doubt that there has been an experience, an encounter. Amen. And so there has to be change, right? If any man's in Christ, they're a new creation.
That's right.
All things have passed away. All things become new.
Yes.
And so the way that things become new, that now that you've been born again, your spirit is alive to God now.
Yeah.
Amen. Then it's important. It's important then that we understand kingdom living.
Yes.
That we live now according to a whole new set of principles and values and convictions, right?
Amen.
Beliefs
Amen.
In the kingdom of God.
Yes.
And so when you understand that, a believer that lives for the kingdom, you know, then understands that we are simply His disciples or His servants.
Right.
And therefore, in the kingdom of God, we talk about the kingdom, it's talking about being obedient to God's authority and God's rule over one's life.
Amen.
Being obedient to God's authority and God's rule and reign over our life. This book right here is the Bible, the authoritative word of the living God, the Creator.
Amen. Yes.
Therefore, it has absolute truth.
Right.
God is a creator. He's a creator of truth.
Amen.
And He possesses absolute truth.
Yes.
Therefore, as His creation, He has every right to dictate to us and show us how we should live and conduct ourselves or do. Amen?
Amen.
For His creation. Yes. And the beautiful thing about God is He don't want robots. He don't force himself upon anyone.
That's
right. You know, because of his great love and great mercy, he woos us to him. He brings us to him. He reconciles men back to him.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And when we come back to him, he loves us. And he changes us. We feel his love as who he is. Everything who he is, we experience him in our life. And man, you can't deny that God is real, that God is God. Amen?
Yes.
And out of that love and gratitude, then we should want to serve him.
Amen.
We want to live for him. We want to be obedient. I don't do what I do because I have to do it.
That's right.
Man, that's right.
I do it because I want to do it.
Yes.
I don't come to church because I have to come to church.
Amen.
I come to church because I want to come
yeah.
to church.
Yeah.
I don't pray because I have to pray.
Yeah.
I pray because I want to pray. I don't go witness and tell people about Jesus and save souls because I have to. I do it because I want to. Amen. I don't give my tithes and offerings and pledges and money and light of the can and keep on giving because I have to. I do it because I want to. Because I've had an encounter.
Amen.
An experience. And I live for him. My life is not my own. I live for Christ. That's kingdom living. That's living for God.
Amen.
How are you living this morning?
Come on.
Come on now.
Does God have full authority, rule and reign over your life? Are you a Christian? Are you a believer?
Come on.
And if you are, that's the way we're supposed to be living.
Yes.
And you see how culture, society and culture has influenced us more than God has influenced us.
Wow.
That the word has influenced us.
Wow.
That the kingdom has influenced us. We allow culture. Some culture is just about family.
Yeah, yeah.
Other culture is just about work.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Others about just education.
Right.
Others about just living for herself. So has that culture influenced us?
Wow.
That we don't live for him?
Wow.
Because all this is going to pass away one day. And everything we have and possess is all going to be gone. The only thing that's going to matter when you stand before Jesus
Amen.
And give an account for everything he's given to us, what we did for him and what we did with it. Amen. That's what's going to matter, right?
Yes.
How I'm going to live for him.
Yes.
There's even some the Bible says that will say, Lord, Lord. They served in the church. They preached behind the pulpit. They served in the nursery. They did all that. And then he's going to tell them, I don't even know you. I don't even know who you are.
Wow.
That's why it's important that what's happening here has to be ignited.
Yeah.
It has to be a fire.
Amen.
It has to be a genuine love,
yes.
passion, experience with Christ.
Yes.
That we do because we want to, not because we have to. When you start feeling that I have to do something, something's wrong here. Something's wrong here because out of here flows life, love, compassion, forgiveness. Right? I want you to stand with me for a moment. And can we sing that song again? What's that beautiful song about? No, no, not that one. The one about his will. We sang it the other day. By your will. That's my favorite song. You know why? Because that's what it's all about.
Amen.
Amen. Let's sing it together just for a moment. Can we? Raise your hands, close your eyes. And just take a moment just to fall in love with Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus.
Just
my own.
Father, we pray for the precious anointing and the precious ministry of the Holy Spirit to have the full freedom to work and move within each and every one of our hearts. That's why we're here this morning, to hear your voice, to get clarity of direction for our life, for you to speak to us and show us how we should live, what we should do for your pleasure and for your will, Lord Jesus. God, I pray that you would captivate every heart this morning. You would help me speak this word, minister your word, communicate, articulate this word, Lord, that each and every one of us would be able to receive it. And we give you the praise, we give you the glory, and we give you all the honor for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much. Thank you. Did they do great worship?
Amen.
Amen. I want you to take your Bibles this morning and turn them to the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 5. And we're going to begin reading from verse 17. Luke, chapter 5, verse 17. As my wife was speaking this morning, we can really sense and see that God is doing something. And you can see it by, I see it by simply him, Pastor, taking the step of faith, yes, and bringing that invitation to come.
Yes.
Probably not knowing if I would accept, not knowing that, you know, we would come. But as I mentioned Saturday, I said, or Friday, that it is our privilege and our,
yes,
this is who we are, this is what we do,
right,
to invest in people's lives that have great potential and that really want to grow,
yes,
and want to serve God and do God's will.
Amen.
So whenever I see a church or a region or a church that takes that kind of step of faith, that tells me that they're hungry.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
They want to grow. They want to do God's will. They,
yes,
want to,
yes,
fulfill the vision. They want to do their part.
Amen. Amen.
And so therefore, I will accept. Because,
yes,
then when they don't call, then that, they tell them they're not interested. Mm-hmm.
Come on now.
They're satisfied. They're settled with what they're at.
My.
You know,
oh,
they got something to prove. They got to do it themselves. Or whatever.
Wow.
Yeah.
Come on.
But not your pastor.
That's right. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. He's
right.
Yeah. He wants to see things happen.
That's right. That's right.
And so how many want to see things happen with them?
Yeah.
And so this is why it's important then that we join together as a church and we make sure that we're asking God, God, give us the eyes to see what you see for our church in this city.
Yes.
And
yes,
it's not just this city that God wants you,
that's
to
right,
impact. God wants you to impact the region.
Amen. Amen.
Even though you're a part of a region, but as you know, think about another region.
Amen.
Think about not only this city, but the next city and the next city.
Amen.
And the next,
amen,
city.
Amen.
And how we can begin to impact those cities with the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it's all about souls.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen. About emptying hell and filling heaven.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
That's our mission. So we're a soul winning ministry, a soul winning church, a church planting ministry.
Yes.
And the only way you can do that is by being faithful and committed to making disciples, reaching, teaching, training, and then releasing into the ministry and into the kingdom of God.
Yes, yes.
And in order to do that, you got to have a strong church. You got to have a,
yes,
strong base.
Yes.
Everything flows out of the,
yes,
church. People,
yes,
today don't understand. Even Christians don't even value, amen, the church anymore. You'll hear this more and more. Amen. But listen, everything flows out of the church. God designed the church after,
yes,
who he is, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And everything that God created is designed after his nature,
yes,
who he,
yes,
is. And if God didn't, you know, value the church, amen, he wouldn't have created it.
That's right.
Right? And so the church is the body of Christ.
Right. Amen. Amen.
He, Christ is the head. The church is the body of Christ.
Yes, yes.
So how can you say you're committed to Christ, who's the head, and not be committed to the church?
Ooh, oh, yeah, there it is.
See, so there's erroneous concepts out there that sometimes devalue,
yes,
the church coming together, assembling ourselves together.
Yes.
In the book of Acts, you see that they would meet in the temple. They would,
right,
assemble,
yeah,
and,
yeah,
then from house to house. Small groups, life groups. I understand you have a life group ministry here, right?
Amen. Amen.
And so it's very important. Church life, celebration, coming and celebrate together. It has to be a part of our value, our convictions, who we are, part of being a part of the body of Christ, like the Bible teaches.
Amen.
And also going into homes and small groups and having those small groups. Amen. That's part of the Bible. That's the biblical pattern.
Yes,
that's how
yes.
the church impacted the world.
Yes.
Right?
Amen.
And so therefore we must be committed to that. So we want to build a strong base. We want to build a strong church.
Yes.
And out of that church, ministry will flow.
Yes.
Ministry will flow not only all over Grand Prairie, it'll go into Arlington, it'll go into all the surrounding cities.
That's
amen.
Right.
That's
amen.
Why you can't think small.
No.
Amen. Amen.
You can't
right.
think
right.
we're gonna stay here. We're not gonna fix this place up. We're gonna get
good.
Out of this place.
Come on,
we're
man.
Gonna
yeah.
fill it and then we're gonna go to a bigger place.
Yeah.
We're gonna fill it and then we're gonna go to a bigger place.
Yes.
We're going to feel it. We're going to go to a bigger place, right?
Yes.
Amen. You're on a journey right now.
Yes.
You're
yes.
on a journey with God, and it's important that everyone got to go on this journey.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
So whatever God is speaking behind the pulpit or whatever direction, we want to join together.
Amen.
And that's our strength, right? Our strength is in our unity.
Yes.
That's where God commands his blessing.
Yes.
Amen. He commands it.
Amen.
See, when there's unity, he commands it.
Yes.
It has
yes.
to happen.
Right.
When God speaks it, it has to happen. Amen?
Yes.
And so God then will give you everything you need in order to do his will.
Yes.
Right? So it's a matter of following God's will. Amen? And all that takes faith. This journey is a journey of faith.
Amen.
Everybody say faith.
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 You have to have the faith to believe that God is more than able. Amen?
Yes.
So
yes.
I want to talk then about building the church, building the house of God, amen, which is a house of miracles, building the house of God. Now, in this passage of scripture, Luke chapter 5, verse 17, the Bible reads like this. It says, and it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, Jesus was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which had come out from every town of Galilee, Judea, Jerusalem. And it says, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought on a bed a man which was taken with palsy. And they brought, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went on top of the roof, on top of the housetop, and then let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said to them, man, your sins are forgiven you. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said, what reason you in your hearts? Which is easier to say that your sins are forgiven you or to rise up and walk?
Come on, man.
But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sin. Then he said to the sick man, I say unto thee, arise, take up your couch and go to your house. Immediately the man rose up before him, took up what he was laying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. In other words, he was healed. He was set free by the power of God. Verse 26. And when they were all amazed at what just took place, all amazed, and they glorified God, and they were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. We have seen strange things today. Now, I'll tell you this. If we're not seeing strange things in this house, or any other house,
come on, man.
I go down this big reality house.
Come on. Amen.
Right? Because I tell you what, in big reality, you see a lot of strange things.
Come on.
Right.
Turn around and look at your neighbor. That's pretty strange. Right? That's the miracle of God. When you turn around and look at, that's a miracle. That's a supernatural miracle.
Right. Come on.
You look at these men and all, they're miracles.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
They're miracles. God has done, amen, what no man can do, what we couldn't do for ourselves. Amen. That's the power of God. Amen.
Yes. Yes.
So when you look at building the house of God, when you look at this passage of scripture,
Listen, it was just an ordinary house until Jesus walked into that house.
Amen.
It was just an ordinary building until we stepped into this building and we started, and the presence and the power of God became came into this house, right?
Amen.
Where it became the house of God. So this building that used to be a court building where people used to get committed to jail or pay the fines or whatever, now it's the house of God.
Yeah.
Where the power and the presence of God is to save, to deliver, to heal, and to set free. Amen?
Amen.
Where lives are being changed.
That's right.
So the question we want to ask ourselves here this morning is, how can you and I today, as members of the body of Christ and of the household of faith, be a part of building a house of miracles? Building a house of God where the presence and the power of the Lord is present to heal. Are you ready?
Amen.
First of all, number one, the way that we can build God's house is that it must be built upon the authority of the Scriptures.
Amen.
It must be built upon the authority of the Word of God, the Bible, the Word of God. In verse 17, the Bible says that he was sitting there teaching. The Word of God was going forth with power, teaching the Word of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says this: all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, fully equipped, ready for every good work. Now, what does that mean? Amen. That the Word of God was given by inspiration of God. That statement, inspiration of God, means this in the Greek context: God breathed. God breathed. So in other words, to me, when I read that and I think about the Bible, the Word of God, the real author of this book right here then is God himself.
Amen. That's right.
God is the author. Let me explain a little bit more better. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, it explains it a little bit more clear. He says this: for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, as God breathed upon them.
That's right.
David said in 2 Samuel 23:2, he said, the Spirit of the Lord spoke through me. His word was on my tongue. God told Jeremiah, I put my words in your mouth. So, in other words, when Jeremiah spoke, it wasn't Jeremiah that was speaking, it was God speaking through him.
Amen.
So, you see, when you talk about the Bible, this book right here is the inspiration of God. It is God that breathed. God is the author. This is why Hebrews 4:12 says that the Word of God is alive.
Yeah,
the Word of God is powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to divide the soul, the spirit, the joints, and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intentions of the heart.
Amen.
So if the Bible is God's Word, the Word of the Creator, then the Word of the Creator must have absolute authority.
Amen.
Yes.
And it must be absolute truth, because God is the source of all truth, right?
Yes, yes, amen.
Therefore, the absolute truth and the authority of the Bible over our lives must be based on this fact, that this book right here not only contains the Word of God, it is the Word of God.
Amen, amen, yes.
It is the Word of God.
Amen.
And the church must be built upon this fact.
Come on now.
Yes.
It must be built upon this fact, the authority of the Scripture, especially in this postmodernism age, amen, where many believe that there is no more absolute truth. There is no absolute truth, such as the infallible, the authoritative, inerrant Word of the living God. Somebody say amen.
Amen. Amen.
You see, why is this important? Because you will find many people walking through those doors, amen, that will have the mindset, these kind of mindsets, mentalities, amen. And these are the challenges that many times the church is gonna face. A lot of people that come in with different ideas, different philosophies of life or whatever.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's important that they understand that there's only one truth, and that's God's truth.
Amen.
And if they should know the truth is what's going to set them free.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
And therefore, the Word of God, we can't build the house of God upon philosophy. We can't build the house of God upon human wisdom. We can't build the house of God on these ideologies. It must be built upon the authority of the Scripture, the Word of God.
Amen.
So, If the church is going to be built, this is our foundation.
Yes.
Amen?
Right. Amen?
Our counseling should be based on the Word of God.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen. Our preaching should be based on the Word of God. Our teaching should be based on the Word of God. Amen? Yeah. Our lives should be in line with the Word of the living God.
Yeah.
And it's important because these are the challenges that the church is going to face today.
That's
Amen?
Right.
Of people coming in. Because all of this postmodernism, belief, relativism is what's being taught in our schools today.
Yep.
It's being taught in our schools, in our colleges, universities, by professors of the teachers of our children.
That's right. That's right.
And therefore, I remember a time when my son got in trouble because he didn't want to accept that he didn't come from some ape.
Come on.
Or some monkey or something, or evolution.
Yeah.
Right? But he said, no, God is my creator.
Amen.
And I remember when he got in trouble. I had to go to the school and talk to them.
Yeah.
Right? And this was supposed to be a kind of, a Lutheran, some kind of school, whatever. Because I had to send them out of Chicago. They couldn't go to school in Chicago. First day we got to Chicago, we were going to put them in school. We read the headlines. It says a young kid was beaten to death with a baseball bat because he didn't want to join the game. I said, okay, well, we're going to get you in this school over here. But this is the mindsets of many people today, many of the teachers of our kids in our schools. So therefore, if the church and us as parents do not teach our children
the
foundations of faith and belief and give them a strong defense of belief and convictions, and let me tell you something, the world is going to teach them. The world is going to teach them. And they're going to teach them their postmodernism belief, relativism, that there is no absolute truth such as the Word of God. And then one day that little child, that little boy or girl is going to grow up and look at you and say, you know what, Dad, I don't believe the way you believe.
My God.
Is that what we want?
No.
That's why everything must be based upon
the word of
God.
Is.
Amen?
Yes. Amen.
Can we say amen?
Amen.
And the last time I checked, us in Victory Outreach, we still believe.
Yeah.
We still believe and hold to the fact that the Bible, the Holy Scripture, still is and always will be absolute truth, amen, based on the Word of God.
That's right.
And the Word of God is essential in building the house of God because it's the Word of God that changes lives.
Yeah.
It's the Word of God that transforms lives, amen, not our testimony. Our testimony just kind of establishes, you know, a relationship. It kind of opens them up, you know, kind of to listen because they know we've been there. But it's the Word of God. When you give them the Word of God, the Word of God is what plants the seed of truth inside of them that eventually is going to set them free. And when we come to church and we go to life group and we go to our whatever educational process to grow and learn more of the Word of God, it's important because it's the Word of God that renews our mind.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
The Bible says don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind.
Yes.
If you want to change your life, you want to see change in your husband, change in your wife, or change in your children, or change in our family, or change. It's the Word of God that will change. It transforms us. Amen. Some of us need a good, you know, I remember they used to tell me, you better stop going to that church, man, to brainwash you. I said, well, you know what? I need a good brainwashing, man. My mind was messed up. It was filthy. It was corrupt. And I needed a change in my mind. That's why I keep going to that church. That's why I keep going to Bible study. That's why I keep reading this book. Because I need my mind renewed and transformed by the power of God. The Word of God is what changes people's lives.
Yes, amen.
Not so much our style of preaching or personality, it is the Word of the living God.
Yes.
Romans 12:2, it says the Word cuts, pierces, it reveals, it convicts, it renews, it changes lives.
Yeah.
So we're going to build God's house. We're going to build a base. It must be based and built upon the Word of God.
Yes.
Number two. As we're going to build God's house, a house of miracles, then it must be built also by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
By the Spirit of God. The Bible says there in verse 17 that the presence and the power of the Lord was there to heal. The presence and the power. It was just an ordinary house. See, this is the powerful authority and anointing that God has given every believer that we can be changing. We can go into any place or any house or any
And we can change the atmosphere.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right?
Amen.
And this is important that because there has to be an atmosphere where the presence and the power is for lives to be changed. Some people, they're just so, you know, so educated, amen, and set on their certain way of thinking, amen, that there's nothing that you can say to convince them. They have to have an encounter.
Come on. Amen. Yeah. Come on.
Did you get that? They have to have an encounter.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
something
yeah.
that they can't experience, something they can't even explain.
That's right.
True. Right? Yeah. They can't even explain. Amen. To get their attention, like Apostle Paul. He had to have a head-on collision on that Damascus road with Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's right. That's right.
Jesus
that's
had
right.
to knock him off his high horse.
Right. Yeah.
Get him down to the ground to a posture where all he can say, Lord, what do you want me to do?
That's right.
He couldn't deny the experience.
Yes.
Amen. With all his education, with all his prestige and position in society, amen, he had to have that kind of encounter to humble him, to make him bring him to a place, Lord, what do you want me to do? That's what the power of God does. Amen. So it must be built upon the power of God. Because anytime one sets out to build something for God, anything from God, amen, it must be built upon through the power of God, the Spirit of God. It, you know, because you're going to expect opposition.
Yeah.
You're going to expect persecution. You're going to expect setbacks, right? I mean, whenever you start out to build, you can say you want to build a marriage, you want to build a home, you want to build a church, you want to build a life group, right? You want to build a ministry. Listen, anything you set out to build for God, it must be built by the Spirit of God because you're going to experience opposition.
Amen.
You're going to experience setbacks. You're going to experience, you know, a persecution.
Right.
The devil
right.
is going to try and stop anything you do for God, right?
Yes.
But listen, if God has called you to build it,
yes.
then
yes.
God will build it
yes.
if you don't give up.
Oh, come on.
And if you build it with the right materials, not with wood, hay, and stubble, but you got to build it with the gold, the silver, the
yeah.
precious stones,
yeah.
and God, the right material with the right tools that God gave us to build.
Right. Yes.
And then we're going to build a strong, solid foundation
yes.
and a strong house for God when the power and the presence of God is. But there will be opposition.
Yes.
This is why I like what we read in Zechariah 4:6 when it speaks about Zerubbabel being involved in God's building project, in the building of the temple. And he started experiencing opposition. He started experiencing persecution. He started experiencing setbacks. Amen.
Yeah.
Things weren't going his way. Things he was frustrated. When all of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord came upon the prophet, amen, Zechariah, and spoke to him. And in essence, this is what he said. He says, look, Zechariah, Zerubbabel, you started this work, you're going to finish it.
Wow. Yeah.
You started this work, you're going to finish it. But let me tell you something. It's not going to be built by power or by might, but by my Spirit,
yeah.
saith the Lord.
Amen.
What is he yeah. saying there? In other words, he was telling Zerubbabel, perhaps he was trying to do it on his own, in his own human reason or logic or manpower. But what God was saying, you're not going to build my house with human wisdom. You're not going to build my house with human ingenuity. Amen. You're not going to build my house, amen, by human resources. You're not going to build my house by human strength. My house must be built by my Spirit.
Yes.
For the scripture says, except the Lord build the house, they that labor in vain.
Come on now.
That's good. That's good.
That's right.
Yes. Wasn't going to be done by putting our trust in man.
Wow.
In his riches, resources, wisdom, or strength. But it's by his Spirit. By his presence.
Yeah.
Therefore, it's important for us as pastors and leaders and members of the body of Christ to make sure that we are creating the right atmosphere.
Yes, yes.
In that
yes,
life group.
Yes, yes.
In our church services.
Amen.
Where the presence and the power of the Lord is.
Yes.
Even when you go have a street rally.
Yeah,
yeah.
When you're
yeah.
going into the enemy's camp.
Yeah,
come
yeah.
on.
I've always believed this, that your first battles are won on your knees.
That's right.
Amen, amen, amen.
The victory is yes. first takes place right here on the altar before you go out there and step on that corner.
Yes,
when
amen.
Your angels have gone before them. To prepare the way. And I always tell them, set a perimeter in that corner. No devil, no person will try and disrupt this rally.
Come on. Amen, amen.
And when they do, I tell them, if I want to tie, but you
yeah.
stay with, see this line?
Yeah.
Like,
You don't cross this line. Come on, right there. This is God's property.
That's right.
This is God's property.
Come on.
That's good. Amen. Yes.
Amen. Amen.
So it's important for us then to create the avenue where the Spirit of God is welcome.
Yes.
Where the Spirit is welcome. Amen. Yes. Have you ever been invited to somebody's house and you didn't feel welcome?
Come on now.
Have you been invited to somebody? And then you know, big old invitation, you get there, they answer the door, oh, good to see you, and there's stuff here, and then it's like you're the invisible man.
Yeah.
Come on.
Or you're like the invisible person. Nobody's talking to you. They got their own little cliques here, over there, and you're just there by yourself. So, man, what did they invite me for here?
Come on.
You feel unwelcome, right?
Yeah.
And what causes that sometimes? Sometimes, you know, people don't even realize that they're becoming insensitive. They're the ones that invited you. Now they're not even paying attention to you.
My God.
Right? Sometimes insensitivity can be a problem when you're not sensitive to the presence of someone.
Yes.
Then they just feel like the invisible person. They're just there.
Yeah.
Right? And or sometimes not only insensitivity, but self-focus.
Yeah.
Sometimes people are so self-focused, focused on themselves and not the other person. Right? You know those persons that go to the restroom, but they have to stop by the mirror first and check themselves.
Come on.
And, you know, they're so focused in themselves.
Yeah.
Right? Well, how about unforgiveness?
Oh, come on.
Hmm? Issues, conflicts, right? Unforgiveness. And then you go to the house and, you know, all of a sudden you see them sitting over there. So I say, well, I'm going to sit over here. That's probably why some people sat on that side of the church today, not on this side. Or maybe on this side, not that side, amen? Because they've got a grudge. Or that person, they've done me wrong, amen? Those things can kill the atmosphere. All the insensitivity, amen, the unforgiveness, the self-focus, amen, or sin, you know, just outright sin, amen, can kill the presence where the Spirit of God wants to, because God wants to dwell among us. God desires to dwell among us, amen. He wants to inhabit our praises, amen. But this is why we must be focused on Him. There's an audience of one right here that we're to please, to worship, to adore, amen, so that He can come and the presence can come and we can get a breakthrough, but also that breakthrough can overflow into that unsaved person that needs a miracle, and in the presence and the power of the Lord is present, my friend, there's healing, there's deliverance, there's salvation, there's freedom that takes place.
Yes.
Chains are broken.
Amen.
And only God can break.
That's right. Good.
So we must create that atmosphere.
Amen.
And we don't know how to do that. Being sensitive, prayer, a lot of prayer, amen, setting the atmosphere.
Yes.
Good. Number three. We're going to build God's house. It must be built by radical evangelism.
Amen.
Yes.
By the Spirit of the Lord, the Word of God, and radical evangelism. When they were in that house, all of a sudden it was interrupted. In verse 18 it says, then behold, that they use that word, the writer used that word, behold, as to look as one with amazement.
Yeah.
You know, because somebody brought this man that was crippled on a bed, amen, who was paralyzed, and brought him to Jesus. In other words, everybody was amazed because of the radical efforts of these men who brought that man to Jesus. The Bible says, whom they sought after. Whom they sought. In other words, they went looking for that man. They went looking. They went searching for that man. They went seeking for that man in order to find him and bring him to Jesus. In other words, they cared enough. Those four people that went after that man, they cared enough, had compassion enough to go out of their way and go find him to bring him to Jesus. In other words, they were willing to inconvenience themselves, amen, get out of their comfort zone, to go out of their way and find that person, to get that person to Jesus. In other words, they went out of their way to get him here, to get set free.
Yes, yes.
They did whatever it took. They took time out of their busy schedule for this man to come and experience Jesus Christ, the power of God in his life. How many know that's radical evangelism?
Yes.
Radical evangelism is being moved by compassion, not pity, train with empty back seats.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my.
Come on now. Come on.
Wow. Radical evangelism.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's about people. Bringing people. You're
yes.
safe.
Yes.
You're cleaned up.
Come on.
You got it together now. But what about your friend?
Yes.
What about your relative?
Wow.
What about your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, aunt, uncle, relative? Whoever needs God. And those that really need God.
Yes.
We need to be persistent.
Yes.
Jesus said, go into the highways and the byways.
Yes.
And compel them to come that my house would be full.
Wow.
Amen? That's his words.
Yes.
Challenging us, the church, go out of the highways, the byways. If your loved one doesn't want to come, if your friend doesn't want to come, then just go find whosoever
yes.
might want to come.
Amen, amen.
Amen?
Amen.
And bring them so that we bring, and we get them here, and that the presence and the power of God is here, and Jesus will do the rest.
Yes.
Amen. 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 They did whatever it took. Yes. Took time out of their busy schedule to go so that man can come and experience Christ. Many times the church is not being built because many of us are too preoccupied with our own agenda.
Yeah.
Or it doesn't fit into our busy schedule. When we get so wrapped up and caught up into ourselves and our own world, our job, our family, our hobbies, then we forget about people.
Wow.
But if we're going to build God's house, then we're going to need to get back to that old school victory outreach, evangelism outreach, that will move with compassion, that where the love and compassion of God compels us. It drives us like these four men, and go and start bringing our friends and start bringing our family and start bringing people to God's house so that Jesus can heal them, save them, and deliver them.
Amen, amen.
Don't you want to see your church filled?
Yes.
Don't you want to see these empty chairs filled?
Yes.
I mean, how many of you have claimed one of those empty chairs for that loved one?
Yes.
Amen. That homeboy, that homegirl, right?
Yes.
You know, that unsaved relative, your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister. I claim it. How many are getting radical again?
Yes.
Say, you know, I'm not just coming to church, but I'm coming to church, amen. You know, for me, but I want to start coming for church for others. I'm claiming that chair.
Right.
That chair has my brother's name on it.
Yes.
That chair has my sister's name on it. That chair has my husband's name on it. And get radical and start praying for them and start telling them and share with them and bring them to church. Oh, my friend, when every member of the body of Christ begins to get filled with the love and compassion of God and gets that radicalness back again, my friend, there won't be a seat right in this house for anything.
Yeah, good, good.
Wow.
Someone said, a church that is content with not growing is like saying to the rest of the world, you can all go to hell.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Come on now.
A church that is content
with
not growing is like saying to the rest of the world, you can all go to hell. Why were they so radical? Why were these four men so persistent? Why were they so confident that if they could just find their friend or neighbor or relative or whoever, loved one, doesn't say who he was, right? But whoever he was, these four men that went searching for him to find him just had enough faith to believe that if they can find him and just get him to the house, that Jesus would be able to heal, save, and set him free.
Yes.
Why were they so confident of that fact? I'll tell you why. Because they heard what Jesus had done.
Yeah.
They heard about Jesus, this Jesus that was going from town to town and village to village, opening up blind eyes, making the crippled walk, making the dumb speak, cleansing the lepers. And it's because they heard what Jesus had done for others, amen, they said, maybe there's hope for our friend.
There's hope for
my loved one. So therefore, well, let's go find him. Jesus is in our town. He's in that house over there. Let's go get him. Let's go get her. Well, let's go find her. And when they found him, they brought him. They carried him. They carried him. Because he probably couldn't come on his own, so they carried feeding him. And they brought him to the house. That's why. How many of you know what God can do?
Come on, amen.
How many of us know what God can do?
Amen.
Is there anybody too far gone for God?
No.
Is there anybody too hard for God?
No.
Is there anybody too lost for that God cannot find them?
No.
Huh? God found us.
That's
he
right.
did it for us.
Yeah.
When doctors said it couldn't be done,
yeah.
when programs said it couldn't be done,
right. yeah,
when jails right. and prisons couldn't help us,
yeah.
and programs
yeah.
couldn't help us,
yeah.
who was the one that did it for us?
Yeah.
It was Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And if Jesus Christ
right.
did it for you, and
yeah.
Jesus Christ did it for me, and he surely can do it for others that are out there.
Yeah.
This society has given them hope.
Wow.
But are we going to be radical? Are we going to, you know, stick to that radical VO hardcore
yes.
evangelism.
Yes, yes, yes.
And we live for souls.
Come on.
We live to build the kingdom. We live
Amen.
For God. And God's heart is with people. God's heart is with people. Amen?
Yes, yes, yes.
Number four, we're going to build God's house. It must be built not only on radical evangelism, the word of God, the power of God, spirit of God, but it also must be built by radical faith.
Yes.
Radical faith.
Yes.
In verse 20, 19 and 20, we read, and when Jesus saw their faith, not the man's faith. Look at this. When Jesus saw, he says, their faith.
Yes.
Wow.
Talking about the four men that brought that man.
Wow.
He didn't say when Jesus saw the man's faith.
Come on.
He probably didn't have no faith. He probably just ended up going for the ride. He said, look, because he was probably sick and tired of going looking for help and never finding a cure. So he just went for a ride. But it was these men's radical faith that said, come on, you're going with us. We're carrying you over there. And when they got there, amen, the house was so packed out, because anytime Jesus is in the house, it should be full, right? And it was packed out. Nobody can get in. And so when they got to the door, there's a big head usher right there saying, you ain't getting in this house.
My God.
And we know that anytime God is about to do a work and you're trying to do a work, you're always going to experience some kind of opposition. Right? And they're trying to get this man into the house, but it's so packed, there's no room. And the head usher is saying, you ain't getting him in here. There's no room. There's no seat. It's not his day. Take him home. But because these men had such radical faith, they refused to take no for an answer. They said, we didn't come this far to leave our friend in the same condition. Therefore, they did what all Victory Outreach people do when we go to the streets, right? When the police pull up, we send that one guy, go distract him. Just go talk to him so we can finish the rally. Amen. And so they go and they start asking the cop, well, what do we need to do? Well, you got to get a permit. Well, how do you get a permit? And stall him so that we can finish the rally, get so saved. Amen. That's a demon. These men represented D.O. to the poor. Because when they hit one guy, he started talking to the head usher there, distracted him while the other guy went up on the roof, right up on the roof, and carried for the crowd and said, there he is. And they brought their friend and brought him to Jesus.
Come on,
man. I mean, that's radical.
That's radical.
And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, your sins are forgiven. Get up and walk.
Yeah.
And the man got his breakthrough that day.
That's
the man got his miracle that day. Yeah. Not because he had the faith, but because of the faith of somebody that had the love and compassion and endurance and persistence.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on now.
Yeah. See, it's that kind of faith that moves the heart of God.
Yeah.
It's that kind of faith that pleasures the heart of God.
Yeah.
The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to pleasure the heart of God. It's impossible to please God. He that comes to God must believe that he is God, and he's a rewarder. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And therefore, when Jesus seen their faith, he was so moved to reward their faith by healing their friend. What am I saying then? I'm saying this. There's people out there that are lost and bound and hurting. Some of your loved ones, some of your brothers, your sisters, some blood, relatives, homeboys, homegirls, family members, and just people. People that are lost and bound, they're hurting, They're miserable. They're in pain. Amen. They're in agony, the lostness, the hopelessness of humanity that is out there right now. And many of them, they tried this. They tried that. They've been here and there, and nothing has helped them. Therefore, they have no faith. But it's up to the church.
Yes.
The church of Jesus Christ to have the faith to believe.
Yes.
For many of those that are out there, that's what it's going to take.
That's right.
Amen. Radical faith.
Amen.
And when people come and we are persistent and it starts getting full, then it's going to take radical faith to start looking for another building.
Come on, amen.
Start looking for another place.
Yes.
In fact, you need to start looking now.
Come on.
Don't wait, because you have to just believe, you know what, in the next few months or so, this place is going to be packed out. We're going to need to get another place. And so you're going to have the faith to believe. Amen. God for another place. Amen. And don't have small faith.
No.
Have big faith. Think big. You got to look at yourself as a mega church. You got to look at yourself as a big church. Listen, you have all of Grand Prairie. You have all of Arlington. And that's just two. You have all the other surrounding cities. Amen.
Right.
People will come from the north. People will come from the south. People will come from the east. People will come from the west. As long as there's a church that loves God and for the fire of God and the power and the presence of God is there, just like this house, there won't be room in the house. But you got to see it. You got to see it. You got to believe it.
That's right.
Look what God done with Pastor Sonny and Sister Julie.
Yes.
From the humble beginnings, and look at how that church began to grow. To 3,000-4,000 member church.
Yes.
Okay, look what God did. And he was an ex-junkie.
That's right.
He came from the streets.
Yeah.
But God saved him. And when God saved him, I mean, we've all heard the testimonies, the humble beginnings.
Right?
They've gone through the same struggles we've gone through.
Oh, man.
Had the same doubts that we had.
Yeah.
Faced the same barriers that we had. We faced.
That's right.
But somehow, someway, they were able to get a hold of God and by faith break through those barriers.
Yes.
And dare to believe God's promise.
Yeah.
And dare to believe God's will. That God says, no, I didn't bring you this far to leave you. Remember, I said, I'm going to give you treasures out of darkness. But remember the second promise, that you're going to grow and you're going to expand to the right and to the left. That's not just his promise. That's Grand Prairie's promise too. Because you're a part of this vision, amen? And you must believe it. And you must be thinking growth and expansion. We're not going to stay where we are. I refuse to stay where we are. But you got to have the faith to believe that God is going to take you to the next level. Their faith and love for this man, and your faith and love for this man,
amen,
should unite us all together.
Amen.
So that nothing discouraged them, not even the crowd. In other words, these men were not intimidated by the arguments or the opinions of others. They didn't get in this house.
Amen.
Nor were they intimidated by their own human logic, nor did they just accept reason. Well, it's packed. I guess we're not going to get in.
Come on.
But rather, their radical faith moved them to think out of the box.
Amen.
Think out of the box.
Yes.
And thank God they did, because look what the Lord did.
Amen.
Yes. Sometimes, church, you just got to think out of the box. You got to know that, you know, listen, like I go to Chicago, I have a church in San Bernardino. We did a lot of things in San Bernardino. The church was growing and so forth. But when I go to Chicago, listen, there's some things that I could probably use and take from San Bernardino. But then there's other things that I have to seek God for in that city, for that church at that time.
That's good, amen.
And sometimes I've had to think out of the box. And maybe God may not want to do the same thing twice, like back home. Maybe God wants to do a new thing.
Yes. Yes.
And I had to be willing to change and willing to evolve, to think differently.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yes.
Even the way I used to think. Amen? And understand that this is what God wants to do today.
Yeah.
And that's what you're going to have to do.
Yes.
As God begins to elevate you, as God begins to move you, take you further, You got to start thinking differently. Well, you can't get stuck. Well, this is what we used to do it in Dallas.
Right.
If Dallas would keep doing what they're doing, they would stay where they are, but they're growing.
Amen.
They're evolving, right?
Yes.
Why?
Yes.
Because they're moving with God.
Yes.
You got to do what God wants you to do here in Grand Prairie.
Amen.
And
Amen.
It's
good.
Yes.
It's good. Yes. Amen.
What does God see for this area?
Yes.
What kind of church do you see in this whole area? I'm not talking about a storefront. I'm talking about like that church we seen down the corner,
right.
That big church.
Come on. Yeah.
Brand new church. Nice church.
Come on.
Yes.
Right? That's what I see.
Amen.
By the way, I said, that's what I see for you. I get that one.
Come on. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it sounds radical because then we come over here and we look with our little humble group over here.
Come
right?
on.
That's how I feel in Chicago, right?
Yeah.
I see different places, buildings. I said, man, that's what we need right
yes.
here. Right? That's
come
what
on.
I see.
Yes.
And then I go Sunday morning to my congregation. So, oh, Lord have mercy. God give me eyes of faith. Amen.
Amen.
But you got to see it. You got to believe it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You got to believe God. Yes. Why not?
Yes.
Come on,
man.
Why not?
Yes.
You know,
yes.
What makes us different, Victory Outreach?
Right.
Is God some respecter of persons? No.
Come
why
on.
Not?
Come
why
on.
Not?
Yeah,
what makes us different than the other church down the corner? What makes us different than that other race? What makes us
right.
different than
right.
that other social class?
Come
Amen.
Yes.
What
yes.
makes
Come
us different? Nothing makes
yes.
us different. We serve the same God.
Yes.
He's just as big
yes.
as God to us
yes.
as he is to them.
Yes.
And there's no reason why we can't.
Yes.
Come on, in fact, you ought to get kept out of your vocabulary today. Got to be willing to step out.
Yes.
Launch out into the deep.
Come on now, there it is.
Take the risk.
Yes.
Dare to believe God.
Yes.
He says, come and step out and go for it, man.
Yes.
And watch what God does.
Wow.
Listen, I made some blunders and I made some mistakes sometimes. Like Peter, you know. And I don't think it was God's fault. It was my fault.
Come on.
Look what God told Peter. He said, Peter, remember when you came walking on the water in the midst of the storm? And then Peter, they're all afraid in the boat.
Yeah, that's right.
All terrified. Oh, it's a ghost. It's a ghost. Until Jesus said, don't be afraid. It is I. That word I is the same equivalent Hebrew word where God said, I am what I am.
Yes, amen.
In other words, when Jesus, don't be afraid. It is I. In other words, it is I, God. God Almighty. The Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end.
Come on now.
The creator of heaven and earth. And when Peter heard that it was Jesus, that's what ignited his faith.
Yes.
And says, Lord, if it is you, then bid me to come to you on the water. That's the kind of faith that moves the heart of God.
Yes,
it moved Jesus so much that he wanted to reward Peter by saying, you know what? Get out.
Come on. Yes.
Come out.
Yeah.
And Peter just, he didn't try and rationalize it. He didn't try and
right.
figure it out. I'm sure his friends in the boat said, don't get out of the boat. He did not be intimidated. He just stepped out and started to walk on that water. Sure, he said, yes, because he took his eyes off Jesus. But let me tell you something. I would rather be like Peter than step out of the boat and walk on water at least for a few seconds than to be stuck in a boat for a lifetime. Oh, hallelujah. God is speaking to somebody here today. God is speaking to somebody here today. Who wants to be stuck in a boat for a lifetime when you can step out and see the glory of God, see the power of God, see the miracles of God, see the supernatural, see all that God has for you? Even if it doesn't make sense. Sometimes you got to just think out of the norm. God speaks, go for it.
Yeah,
I've been like Peter. I start seeing things happening. For whatever reason, I took my eyes off. And I sank. But he was right there to pick me up. At least I stepped out.
That's right.
And I learned from that. See, it didn't minimize Peter's faith. What did Jesus say afterwards? He didn't say, oh, you have no faith. No, he said, oh, ye of little faith.
Come on.
Didn't mean he didn't have no faith.
That's right. That's right.
It was that little faith that at least got him to walk for a few seconds.
Come on now. Yes. It's good.
The other ones had no faith.
No faith. Come on.
Paralyzed by fear.
Yeah.
Security.
Security.
A
At least he had enough faith.
Come on.
So it, but it, by just stepping out, can you imagine that enhanced his faith?
Yes, it did. Amen.
It wasn't that he had no faith, it enhanced his faith.
Yes, yes, yes.
It took his faith to another level, at least.
Yeah.
At least he could talk about it later.
Yeah, right. That's right.
Hello.
And remember, man, if he did it for me then. See, Jesus was just trying to tell him what can be with this kind of faith and what will not be with that kind of faith.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Okay, let's move on. I don't even know how I got into that part, but that's good. Good stuff. Amen. Write it down. Number five, are you ready? Last point. We're going to build the house of God. It must be built upon the authority of the scriptures. It must be built by the Spirit of God. It must be built by radical evangelism,
yes.
Radical faith. And number five, it must be built by cooperation.
Good.
When you go back to verse 16 or 18, when the writer says, behold, like as one with amazement about the men who brought their friend to Jesus. In Mark's gospel, speaking of the same incident, in Mark's gospel, he says, carried by four. Carried by four. Not one, but carried by four. That speaks of cooperation.
Amen.
In other words, one man couldn't do it by himself.
That's right.
But through the cooperation of others, they were able to get that man to Jesus. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:16, when it speaks about the growth and the health of the church, it depends upon the cooperation of every member doing its share.
Right.
That if we're going to be able to see God's vision come to pass for God's, for Grand Prairie and everything else that God has for it, it's not going to happen by just the faith of the pastors.
That's right, amen.
And the commitment level of the pastors,
right,
or just
amen.
A select few. But it's
right.
Going to happen when every member of this body
yes,
is doing
yes,
share.
Yes. Amen.
Contributing what they have to
there
give. To
Amen.
Give their gifts, their service,
yes.
Their gifts, their
yes.
Talent, their
yes.
Ability. Amen. Everyone doing if you can sing, you should be singing.
There it is.
If you can play an instrument, you should be playing an instrument. If you love children, you should be serving in those children.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
If you love to help people, you should be helping in the parking lot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whatever it is, your gift, your talent, and then is it hospitality, you love to serve people, serve in the hospitality. Whatever it is, the church is going to be built by cooperation.
Yeah.
By every member doing their share. And listen, you say, well, I don't know what my gifts are. I have no talent. And you've just been, you know, beat down all your life. Let me tell you something. Now that you've been born again, and now the Spirit of God lives inside of you, you need to understand that God has plans for you.
Amen. Yeah.
God has plans. And the plans that he has for you have never been to harm you or do you bad like your past, but to do good.
Yes.
To do you good. God's plans are plans of peace, hope, and a future.
Yes.
He has there's something for you in this house to do, to contribute.
Yes. Yes. That's right.
And you got to know that.
That's right. It's good.
Everyone has. Everybody the Bible says has been given a gift.
Yes.
1 Peter 4:10. Each one has been given a gift. And he says in verse 11, we're expected to use that gift for God. And where are we supposed to use that gift? In the church.
Amen.
Ephesians 4:15-16. And where the Bible also talks that Christ is the head. We are the body of Christ.
Yes.
In other words, church, we are all a part of the body of Christ.
That's
when
right.
He describes the body, he describes, uses the analogy of a human body. Even though
yes.
You have one body, but you have many members. You have hands, you have feet, you have ears. You have nose, mouth, eyes, you know, you have different parts of your body, but you're all one body.
Yes.
And that's how he describes the body of Christ. Even though we may be many members, but we're one body.
Yes.
And each member of that body is important.
Yes.
Right?
Amen.
And he's the head.
Yes.
And everybody is supposed to be connected to one another, supplying and sharing our gifts and our talent. And our abilities. And that's how the body of Christ becomes strong and healthy. And a healthy body will naturally begin to reproduce.
Yeah. Yes. Amen.
Christ is the head.
Right.
We are his body. In other words, his hands, his feet, his heart, his ears, his eyes. And when we all cooperate together and do our part and do our share, this is what causes growth.
Yes. Yes.
And he's glorified.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to close with this scripture, or this story. And I want the worship team to make their way. I remember sometime back reading the story of this. It was a story about a time during World War II. And during World War II, Hitler, Germany was bombing all over Europe. And there was a small French town that had this beautiful statue of Jesus right in the plaza, right in the center of the town. Beautiful statue of Jesus, because it was a faith-believing town. And that statue had such great significance to the whole meaning of life. And when the bombs started falling, the earth was shaking, the statue fell, and it broke in different pieces. Literally, people in that community were running out there and grabbing pieces of the broken Jesus and bringing them and putting them away into their homes and in safe places. After the war was over, they began to rebuild their town. They said, we got to rebuild the statue. We got to put Jesus back in the center of our community. And so they all went and started gathering all the pieces out to reconstruct Jesus once again in the plaza. As they started building it, putting it together, and it took a few days. And then, to their discouragement, there were a couple of pieces missing. And the pieces that were missing were his hands. They were so distraught, so discouraged, they said, you know what? We can't leave. Tomorrow we're just going to have to tear it down. And everybody went back discouraged, broken, because it meant so much to them. And the next morning, when they got up to go tear it down, to their astonishment, somebody got up earlier than they, and they put a plaque at the base of the statue that read something like this. He has no hands but ours. He has no hands but ours. And how truthful that is. How biblical that is. That Jesus Christ, when he was here on earth, he moved with such love and compassion for the souls of humanity.
Yes.
Touching lives, going from town to town, village to village, healing everyone that was sick with disease, casting out demons, those that were oppressed. Started a movement, called men to work with them, disciple them, pour his life into them, burn his mission inside of their heart, so his vision become their mission. So the day came when he had to leave this earth and enter his new ministry, the ministry of intercession, sitting there at the right hand of the Father, praying for you and I to continue this work. The only hands that he has today to keep working here on earth now today is ours.
Yeah.
Is mine, yours.
Amen.
He can send angels, but he chose not to use angels for this work. He wants to use you and me to go out of these four walls and go into our community, into our own worlds, and touch hurting people with the love of God. Share Christ with them so they can be whole. They can be forgiven. Those that are oppressed, they can be set free. He has no hands but ours. And today, as every head is bowed and every eye closed, we need to ask that question. Can God use my hands? Can God use my hands? Have I allowed the things of this world, the pressures of life, all the different busyness and different things to stop these hands from touching people, loving people? He has no hands but ours. And today, God wants to use all of us, every one of us, to partner together with Pastor to build this church for God's honor and God's glory, so that he could be glorified here in Grand Prairie. Jesus can be known here in Arlington, Texas, and all over Texas, and all over the United States, and all over the world. Through this church. This church is going to play an influence. Going to send out couples. You're already sending finances. You're already sending prayers. You run for hope. United we can. You're already doing it. You're growing in your faith. But one day you're going to be praying for couples from this church, laying hands on them. They're going to go to other countries. They're going to walk on foreign soil. You're going to see them out there doing the work of God, saving souls of a different culture, different tongue. And you've been a part of that. Your reward will be in heaven because you did your part here. The local level. You weren't afraid to serve. You weren't afraid to roll up your hands. You weren't afraid to give. You weren't afraid to get in there. Whatever needed to be done, you're ready. You volunteer. You help. That's contributing, building the house of God. Let's all stand together all over this place. I'm going to ask the worship team to sing a song. They're going to sing a song. And as they sing this song, I want you just to think about where you are in God. Are you doing your part? Are you doing your share? Listen, God doesn't force himself on anyone. He's giving an invitation. Will you come and partner with me? Will you come and help me do my work here on earth? Reach your family. Reach your loved ones. Reach your friends, your community. Reach this city. Will you come and be a part of my work, building my kingdom for my honor and glory? That's what he's asking here today. It's up to you. God is looking for a willing vessel. I'm going to open up these altars here today. There's someone here today who says, Pastor, pray for me. I'm ready. I'm willing. I want to serve God. I want to do more. I know I can do more. Show me where to begin. Where can I start? I want you to come. Make that first step, that first commitment of saying yes. Yes to God. Yes to Jesus. Yes to the Lord. And I will help build this church. I'm going to help build this community, reach this community, build the kingdom. I want you to come today. I want you to come and find a place. Thank God for this people with his love. Thank God for you with his compassion. Some of us need a fresh baptism of his love. A fresh baptism of his compassion. That burden in our heart, through soul. Hallelujah. For our church. For the vision.
God, we feel your presence in this place, oh God. You're separating the name of the Lord. You're renewing their faith, refreshing their heart, God. Igniting fire once again, Lord Jesus. Oh God, continue to baptize us with your love and your compassion. Baptize us with a fresh fire of the Holy Spirit, God. Rejuvenate us, oh God. Ignite us, oh God. Use every gift, every talent, every ability, every individual here to help build their church and reach this city and the city surrounding this area of our God. Lord, we give you the praise and we give you the glory, God. God, take away all doubt, all fear, and unbelief, God. Rebuke those spirits, oh God, and loosen the spirit of faith in this place. Loosen the spirit of faith, oh God, in this church. Like never before, God, to think out of the box, dare to dream, and dare to believe, Father, that you have greater things in store for each and every one of them, Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Name of Jesus. I want every head bowed and every eye closed just for a moment. Every head bowed and every eye closed just for a moment. I can't close this service without, even if it's one person here today, that you're not saved, you're not born again, you have not yet experienced the love of Jesus, the love of God in your heart. You haven't made that decision to make him Lord and Savior of your life. I don't know if there's anybody here like that here today. You want to accept Christ. Today you came to church. Maybe you're invited by a friend, a relative, neighbor, whatever. Doesn't matter. What matters is to know that God loves you. God cares so much about you. He brought you here. You're not here by accident or coincidence. I believe you're here by divine appointment because God wanted this moment. Even if it's one person, say, yes, I need God in my life. I need Jesus in my heart. I've been trying to live my life by myself, doing things on my own. It's not working. I feel unfulfilled. It's got to be something better, something bigger. If that's you today, I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you. I want to believe God for that miracle of salvation, just like he did in my life. There may be one person. Just raise your hand. God bless you. Anybody else? Just raise your hand and you can put it down. I want to pray for you. You need God in your life. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Just say this prayer. He said, I'm ready. I'm ready to give my life to God. I need God in my life. Just say this prayer. Say, Jesus. Come on, say it. Jesus.
Jesus.
I need you in my life.
I'm tired.
Of just living life. By myself. No purpose. No divine purpose. But I come to you today in need of a Savior. I need you, God.
I need you to forgive me
of all of my sins,
all of my wrongs.
Come into my heart. Come into my life.
And help me.
Strengthen me.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Show me how to live this life.
I'm ready.
To give my life to you. To surrender my heart to you. You take control of my life. From this day forward, I accept you now as my Savior and as my Lord. For you are the Son of God. And you died on the cross for my sins. And you were raised from the dead. And I believe that.
I believe the Bible.
I believe the Holy Scriptures. So today I believe.
Upon
my confession of faith, that I am saved, I am forgiven, and I am ready, Lord, for a brand new life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Come on, give Jesus a good
hand. Come on, give the Lord some praise. How many of you think I learned this morning? Praise the Lord.